Hi, this is Russ Taft.
Hi, this is John Olifanti.
Hi, this is John Schlippen-Petra.
Hi, this is Kim Boyce.
Hey, everybody, Stephen Curtis Chapman here, and you are listening to Jesus Freaks Final to Digital.
Hi, I'm Jason Huddle, host of Jesus Freaks Final to Digital. Before we get into this week's program, I just wanted to take a moment to thank you for downloading this episode and giving us a listen. If you really like what you hear, we'd love to have your support. How can you do that, you say? Well, I'm glad you asked. Simply visit patreon.com/JesusFreaksPodcast and become a monthly sponsor. Now, you can do that for as little as two measly dollars per month, or you can go higher and get special perks, like advanced access to episodes when available, the opportunity to submit questions I will ask our artists on future episodes, and even your very own Jesus Freaks t-shirt. Again, that's patreon.com/JesusFreaksPodcast. Patreon is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. And hey, if you'd like your business or organization to become a sponsor of this program, let us know by visiting our website, JesusFreaksPodcast.com, and click on the Become a Sponsor link at the bottom of the page. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's get on with the show. So you head into the studio to record Back to the Street.
Back to the Street.
And a couple of weeks ago, we had John Olifanti on the show. And he tells me,
He's a slave driver.
Are you listening, John?
Hi, this is Eddie DeGarmo, and you are listening to Jesus Freaks Final to Digital.
John Schlipp was living the rock and roll dream as the lead vocalist for the band Head East. Soon he found it became a nightmare.
I mean, it gets old. You play in front of 20,000 people every day. All of a sudden, the dream becomes pretty much every day. And so you're looking for that next adventure, and that turned into booze. It turned into cocaine, and what was originally a beautiful story, a dream come true, turned in for me, almost destroying my life.
Thankfully, John found Christ, and then soon became the lead vocalist of one of the most iconic Christian groups of all time, Petra. Now, over 35 years later, he still shows no signs of slowing down.
There's nothing the Bible says retire, so I'm not going to. Until God shows me I'm supposed to, and until then, there's a lot to do. My gosh, music is a powerful tool,
Amen. Especially
rock and roll. Rock and roll is an exciting music form to use to sing about the most exciting subject in the history of mankind, Jesus Christ. So as long as God allows me to do it, I'm doing it.
In this episode, you'll hear John's incredible testimony of how he almost took his own life, but found God instead, and then how God used him to bring tens of thousands of people into the kingdom of Christ. Plus, we'll preview a couple of tracks from John's newest solo album, Go, and look back at some of Petra's greatest hits. That's all coming up right now on Jesus Freaks Vinyl to Digital, a presentation of Capco Media Group and a preferred podcast of Way FM. I'm your host, Jason Huddle. Program, the one, the only, John Schlitt, famous frontman of the Christian iconic group Petra. Thank you so much for coming on the program today, John.
Well, Jason, that was worth the $10 I'm going to send you. Thank you. What an intro. I love it.
Oh, man, I try my best. Hey, first of all, as we're recording this, it is the day after your birthday. So happy birthday, my friend.
Oh, thank you, buddy. You know what? I'm numb to my birthdays anymore. Once it went past about 50, I don't care. You know, it's like, oh, who cares how old I am? I don't care. As long as I don't act my age, I'm fine.
That's exactly right. And you don't act your age, man. You are still rocking it.
Well, you know what? God has allowed me to do that. And as long as he does, as long as I still have a voice, as long as my body seems to be functioning pretty well, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. You know, there's nothing the Bible says retire. So I'm not going to. until God shows me I'm supposed to. And until then, there's a lot to do. My gosh, music is a powerful tool.
Amen.
Especially rock and roll. Rock and roll is an exciting music form to use to sing about the most exciting subject in the history of mankind, Jesus Christ. So as long as God allows me to do it, I'm doing it.
That is awesome. And we are happy, happy for you to keep doing it as long as God has you doing it.
I may be a freak show, but it's okay. Be a freak for Jesus. Come on.
That's right. That's right. That's the name of the show, Jesus Freaks. That's what we're all about.
There you go.
So, John, let's talk a little bit. You know, I remember growing up and, you know, all the interviews with you, especially when you joined the band right before Back to the Street.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, hearing your story. But for those listeners that aren't necessarily as familiar, they might not know that you were the front man for a secular band.
Mm-hmm.
Long before you got saved. Tell us a little bit about being with Head East and what that was like.
Well, actually it began as almost it was a dream. It was a dream come true. From the time we started with the band, and it was funny. When I first saw the band that became Head East, I was with my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, and we saw this band. And I said, oh my gosh, this band's amazing. All it needs is me. And I really wasn't joking. They had everything they needed, but they needed that high singer that was happening in rock and roll at the time. They absolutely had everything else. So I just, it was a sock hop at my hometown. I came home from college to visit my future wife. And it just was one of those things, well, I'll never see him again. It's too bad, you know. Well, it just so happened that I went back to college and things worked out to where I did see him again. And I made that same statement to the leader. And he said, oh, really? And he ended up, it was right at the end of my freshman year, just about ready to go home for summer vacation. And I went with him to a show in Southern Illinois. And I got on stage with him once and sang a Bee Gees song. I just gotta get a message to you. And and I didn't even know the song totally. I just sort of faked it. And that got me in. And we went from just a sock hop band, this is during that first summer, to being one of the biggest college, being very successful as a college bar band, and believe it or not, in the hierarchy of music at that time, that was a big step forward.
Yeah.
Then my sophomore year, I almost flunked out of school twice because I was in the band, and I finally, the second semester at the end of it, I had to quit. And it was during that time period, it was a dream come true. I mean, be able to play with a band that good. And to be able to do anybody's songs, no problem. You had no hindrances. There's no weaknesses. But the fact that I promised my parents I would finish college, I got a degree. When I took my last final exam, I got back in the band. I mean, the day I took my last final exam, I got back in the band that day. And it was hard for the first couple of years, but then we did our own record. It hit, became the biggest selling record in the Midwest for almost 6-7 months. All of a sudden, labels are coming to us rather than us going to them. We got a major manager, a major booking agent, a major label, and we were touring big concerts from then on. And for a musician, that was a dream come true. It really was. The problem with that dream is that if you don't have Christ, in my case, even a dream, I have to do it every day. Every day. I mean, it gets old. You play in front of 20,000 people every day. All of a sudden, the dream becomes pretty much every day. And so you're looking for that next adventure, and that turned into booze. It turned into cocaine. And what was originally a beautiful story, a dream come true, turned in for me, almost destroying my life. Remember, I was in a world that did not have Christ.
Right.
I didn't have Christ. I believed in God. I prayed every day. But Jesus didn't mean a thing to me. He was just another name in a book called the Bible that I never read. So the enemy had me. And this is how I look at it. You know, I go, oh, blame the devil for your weakness. I made choices. But the enemy knew exactly what he's doing.
Sure.
And because of my habits, I actually got fired from the band. The lead singer got fired. And in 1980, I went on a six-month binge with the excuse that after I got fired, I was going to put together a band and show them I didn't need them. Well, I think really the whole thing was, the excuse was just for me to stay either drunk or coked up for 24 hours a day for the next 6 months. Mm. And that's not much of an exaggeration. There might have been a few times I was sober, but most of the time I was either coked up or drunk or both, just about 24 hours a day. That's at least that's what it felt like to me. And at the end of that 6 months, I woke up August 29th, 1980, the day after my wedding anniversary. And I passed out on the couch that night on the 28th because I couldn't find, had drank all day, couldn't find Coke to sober me up. And that was using my routine. I drink all day, do Coke to sober up. And just, I couldn't find it. And I passed out. And I missed a party that our friends were throwing for us for our anniversary. Mm-hmm. I woke up on the couch. My one-year-old son is looking at me like, why are you on the couch, Dad? My daughter, my five-year-old daughter, is playing in the living room with us. And a voice in my head said, you know, you're worth more dead than alive. Mm-hmm. As I was looking at my kids and realizing how worthless I was. And I believed it. I said, yeah. I'm worth more dead than alive. So I get off the couch, I sit in my chair, and I'm trying to figure out, I'm not going to use the gun because that would be a mess for my kids. So I'm trying to figure out the best combination of pills I could get to make it as quick and painless as possible. And my wife comes and taps me on the shoulder. This same six-month period, as I'm going down the tubes, my wife gets saved. And she's trying to tell me about Jesus all during this time. And I don't want to hear about this Jesus. It's, you know, don't get in my way. I'm a rock star. I don't want this Jesus and all this dull stuff, this dull Christian stuff. And she would back off. Okay. Okay. But she tapped me on the shoulder and said, you promised you'd come to talk to my pastor tonight. I said, when? She said, last night when you were drunk. And how do you argue that? I said, you know what? I'll come and talk to your pastor, because I knew what I was going to do, and I wanted her to remember that I tried.
Yeah.
I went into that pastor's house with an attitude, and to make a long story short, I walked out with the Holy Spirit. My life changed. My life changed, buddy. And was it perfect? No. I was still in a band that called the Johnny Band that I'd spent the 6 months building. And we went out, me as a baby Christian, out in the bars and started performing. And that was a big mistake. For me as a baby Christian, it was, the enemy wasn't, he didn't want to give up.
Yeah.
And the fact that he could possibly lose me, it was bugging him big time.
Yeah.
But I had a little church that knew, you know, every time I'd come home after the weekend feeling like total garbage for everything I'd done. I mean, I thought temptation was heavy duty ahead these days. Oh my gosh, when I became a Christian and went out in the bars, it was even worse. And I was not strong enough at the time. So my little church kept praying for me, realizing that I was not walking the walk I needed to walk. And finally, I'd had enough of this tugging. And my wife and I, we had our manager, my booking agent, my in-laws, my mom and dad, my uncle and aunt, all of us came together at my parents' house and had a meeting for me to make the announcement that I was quitting. I was quitting music. And I'm like, oh, you can't do that. And they were trying to convince me, my manager, we've got three labels ready to sign you up. We got four shows. Just do those shows. And I'm going, oh, well, maybe. And my mom and dad are, you know, my uncles, you can't quit your rocker. You can't quit music. You're not. And finally, my wife sees where I'm leaning. She leans over and says, John, it's this simple. It's music or me. Mm. And I looked at her. I said, okay, that's it. We're done, guys. Story over. And they all walked out with shock on their face. But it was the beginning of a new life for me. Mm. Very unusual. I mean, you know, I'd been a rocker for 7 years straight. You know, I mean, heavy duty touring all over the country, major tours all the time. And for me to all of a sudden now cut my hair off, wear a three-piece suit, and try to get a job as a civil engineer, that with the resume that says, graduated from University of Illinois, rock star. You know, that's... And, you know, a lot of times it was, don't call us, we'll call you.
We'll call you. Thanks for coming in. Yeah.
Yeah. And finally, it was from then on, God knew what he was doing. And I finally got a job working in a tool and die factory, sweeping a floor in the morning. It's the only job someone trusted me to do because I could do drafting for nothing. You know, they could have me sweep a floor and then I could go and do drafting for nothing, for free. You know, it worked out great for them. And then as time went on, God would open up doors just at the right time. Cause by this time I was in super debt. My habit for those 6 months had just put me way in debt. I thought I'd never climb out of. And I'll tell you what, it only took God about 2 years to get me totally out of debt, which I thought was miraculous. And it was a wonderful thing. And then I ended up getting a full-time job as a mining engineer. I had to move to Utah to do it with this mining construction company. Spent 2 years there and then moved back, got promoted into the main office. And did that for about a year as a cost and scheduling engineer. And realized that I was going to probably have to go back as a project engineer, which meant basically part-time job every 6 months. It would be like touring again. I'm going, oh no! And about this time, Bob Hartman calls me.
Now, here's where I want to pause for a second because this is where I get confused. How in the world does Bob Hartman give you a call out of the blue?
Well, a couple of things. I had done a little project while I was working as a mining engineer in Illinois. This band's manager was going to the same church I was going to.
Yeah.
And he says, I've got a great band, a Christian band, but they need a singer to record an album. And my wife goes, no, it's not God. He says, no, just record. We'll pay you $10 a song. And
$10 a song. Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you, buddy. And at the time, man, I go, okay, that'll pay for the gas to drive to the studio, which turned out to be somebody's house. And I recorded it. They'd hand me the words And I'd listen to the music, and I had to figure out how to fit the words into the music and call it a song. I did that for 10 songs. And I thought, nothing will ever happen to this. It's going nowhere. It was great to sing again. I was, you know, it was nice. I just figured it'd never go. But this manager was a go-getter. He printed out, oh, I don't know how many tapes. And he sent these tapes to every major Christian reviewer, label. I mean, it was out everywhere. And everybody goes, ah, that's where Schlitt went. Because, you know, as a secular artist who became a Christian, that was always a big deal in the Christian music scene. And especially somebody like me, you know, a rocker that actually had halfway decent success. And for me to all of a sudden just disappear off the sort of, which I did on purpose. Anyway, a friend of Bob's who was a reviewer got this tape. And he goes, oh, that's where Schlitt's hiding. And it had a phone number on it. And Bob was talking to his friend, and the friend goes, man, if, you know, he knew Greg was leaving. If there's anything I can do, Bob, just let me, you find me a singer. And he made the comment, well, you know, John Schlitt could fit the bill pretty well. Yeah, he says, I know. I don't even know if he's a Christian. Well, I've got a number here. He's on a Christian tape. You might want to call me. Okay, give me that number. Well, by that time, the number is disconnected. But it struck his interest. And Bob started hunting down. He knew that I lived in Illinois, at least the last time. He started going to every area code in Illinois and looking up information.
Oh, my goodness. Now, this is way before the internet. This is way before you could do
that. Oh, yeah. I mean, this was hard work.
Yeah.
I was not listed. So he could have looked for years. But he saw my brother, who was on the back of Flaz the Pancake as a crew member. And he found my brother's number, and he called my brother and said, are you John Schlitt's brother? He says, yeah. Apparently Jeff gets that a lot. He goes, hey, I'm Bob Hartman. I'm with a band called Petra. And Jeff goes, oh, he's not interested in him. He's not doing that anymore. He's not singing anymore. And Bob goes, well, he might want to talk to me. Can I give you my number and have him call me? Oh, okay, yeah, fine. And he hung up. Jeff thinking, John will. I used to get a lot of calls from secular bands that were building these super bands. You know, right. Bass player from so and so, and would want me to be the. And I couldn't do it as a Christian. I made that I couldn't do the secular thing anymore because a baby Christian, I'd fall right back in the same garbage again.
Sure.
So that's why I got enlisted. That's why I disappeared. So Jeff calls me, says, there's this guy named Bob Hartman. He's with Petra and wanted you to call him. He says, I told him you're not in. I said, you did what? Because by this time, I'm a big Petra fan.
Yeah. I mean, who wasn't?
Someone had given me a Petra album. It said, this sounds just like your old band, but Christian. I go, yeah, all right. And listen to it. I go, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
This is what rock and roll should be.
Yeah.
So I called Bob thinking, you know, he messed his voice up and they've got to finish a record. And maybe I can do the background vocals for it. Wow, what a fantastic opportunity. And I called him and he started saying, John, you know who I am? I said, oh, yeah, but I'm a big fan of yours. Absolutely. He says, well, are you still a Christian? I said, yeah, I'm a heavy-duty Christian, buddy. I really am. He goes, well, he says, Greg is leaving the band. I said, why? He goes, just trust me. It's God's plan that we separate. I said, wow, okay. He says, would you be interested in singing with Petra? And I go, are you kidding? Yes, let's do it. And he goes, well, don't you think you should pray about it? I'm going,
Yeah, okay.
But because of circumstances in my recent past, I knew for a fact that this was God's plan. Mm. And It took 6 months for them to finish their Beat the System tour.
Beat the System, yeah.
And do their live that live recording.
Yeah.
And February 3rd, 1986, I was singing with Petra for the first time in 7 years sober. In front of about 6,000 people in Brisbane, Australia. And that was the beginning of an amazing part of my life.
Feel about you getting back into music full time? What was that conversation?
Well, remember she said music. She said music or me.
Right.
When Bob asked, I'm going, oh, music or me. Oh, man. Right. And I looked at her. She knew what we were talking about, and she was in the kitchen, praising God, dancing and praising God. So I said, okay, this is gonna work.
I guess you get the thumbs up on that one, yeah.
Oh, I got the thumbs up. And the guys, before I was officially let in, three of them came up to visit. We were living in Evansville, Indiana at the time. They came up to interview my wife, my kids, and me, because they knew that unless the family was totally behind it, it wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
And my family says, we know this is what Dad's supposed to do. We know what John, this is what John's supposed to do. And this is God's plan. This is his ministry. And if it's his ministry, it's our ministry. And that's how it's always been. I mean, but I'll tell you what, even the fact that Babe, my wife, was able to forget how it used to be with Head East, which was absolutely, it was not good. It was everything came a second after the band, and right. It meant sometimes I was never home.
Yeah.
And I had a beautiful family at that time, you know, and I just disappeared out of their life. But my wife knew that this was a ministry, this is a God thing, and that it would be fine. And it was fine. The band always put the family first. It was God family band, and it worked out fantastic.
That's incredible. Now, so you head into the studio to record Back to the Street.
Back to the Street.
And I, a couple of weeks ago, we had John Elefante on the show. And he tells me.
A slave driver. Yeah. He's a slave driver.
Are you listening, John? So he tells me you were quite rusty. Like he had to push you.
Oh, yeah. He was the perfect guy for me. John was the perfect God-sent guy to be my producer. See, John and Dina worked as a team. John was my producer. Dina was Bob's producer. And together, they handled it. They handled the load in a perfect sense.
They were pretty good at that, as I understand it.
Oh, they were fantastic. And John did. But listen, I was rusty. He put me through vocal hell. That album, but the next album, Back.
This Means War.
This Means War. Yeah. I was in shape, and he still put me through it. And that record after that, he put me. So I don't want to hear this this, I was rusty. Yes, I was. I totally accept. And he saved me on that one. But the rest of them, he still put me through the same hell. But I tell you what, he sure got a lot out of me.
He got everything out of you. In fact, we were talking about Best Petra album that from the Back to the Street era on with you at the helm. And I think he landed on Unseen Power, but I landed on This Means War, man. That album, top to bottom, wow. That was just so good. So good. And I can't believe I'm a little bit jealous of how high that you can sing. Like it's inhuman how high you can get.
Well, that's for some reason God's given me that, and I praise God for it. I mean, I'm still with the J band that John and I both sing in, the J Secular band. John is such a ridiculous singer that a lot of times he will do the leads. We transfer, but when it comes to the harmonies, they always stuck me with the high stuff, you know, the girls' parts. And I'm cool with that because it really gives. I've got a total amazing singer singing the leads, which gives it total strength. And then I can come in and do all the high stuff really strong. And then we have Mark Townsend, who's not a shabby singer either.
No,
coming in. And then guys, we have three other singers that are amazing too, but it's amazing that God's allowed me to do it. And I praise God for it.
That's
it's incredible. Not training by any means. It's nothing I've done. I do everything I'm not supposed to as a singer, so it's really a God gift.
So, question: best? No, excuse me. Favorite Petra song that you sang, that you recorded?
Oh, that's not fair.
Oh, I know. It's like 20 years of Petra songs.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm going to do it the easy way. It's got to be Beyond Belief because that's synonymous for Petra. Beyond Belief is probably the biggest song on the Bix album that we ever did. I will say that Petra Praise One is really tugging on its tail.
Oh, wow.
And that album, Petra Praise One, any of those songs are anointed.
Yeah.
So, but I also will tell you that No Doubt, that album, if there was an album besides Beyond Belief that was my favorite, you know, I've got top four. I've got both Praise and Worship album, Beyond Belief, and then No Doubt.
I've actually got Beyond Belief the CD sitting right here beside me. Coincidentally.
That album, Beyond Belief, had six number one songs on it.
Wow.
Because that's the only, we only released six singles. All of them went number one. If we released two more, they probably would have gone number one. It was one of those CDs that was just absolutely the right kind of CD at the right time.
Yeah.
And it was really, it took us to another level. I mean, the Greg times were amazing. The Greg Volz times, those records were amazing, and they were trendsetters. When I came in, we had to prove ourselves again. And then when This Means War came in, from then on, it just, and then beyond belief. And with This Means War, On Fire, Petra Praise One, and Beyond Belief, those four records were just bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
It just, we hit the unseen glass ceiling for Christian rockers. You couldn't go any farther up without going secular.
Yeah.
And because we were absolutely synonymous for Christian rock, we had no desire. I mean, it would have been great to be played on secular radio, but there's no way they would do it because we were Christian and we were synonymous with Christian. And I'm still very excited and content in that spot.
Look at the front page, turn on the TV.
You guys, I felt like you kind of helped mentor bands coming up behind you, like the Newsboys. I know that you toured with them quite a lot. Mm-hmm. I remember them opening for you many times. You know,
and then we opened for them.
And then a few years, I remember we were at Carowinds, which is the theme park near Charlotte, and you guys played there several times. And I remember that they, years before, they had opened for you, and then we were back, I guess this is somewhere around 2000, 2001, somewhere around.
Yeah, probably 2000-something.
Yeah, and you opened for them. I thought, wow, Petra opening for anybody else is unheard of. That's crazy.
Well, at the time, that you notice, though, that probably shortly after that, we retired.
Yeah.
Because we did Jekyll and Hyde. And that record was a rockin' record.
I love Jekyll and Hyde. I think that is I love the title track. I mean, that is a rockin' song, man. And it's perfect because I think that so many people can identify with that song.
Yep. Just a typical Bob song. I mean, Bob had a knack of being able to write songs that could mean something. It's timeless. They're timeless songs. Yeah. It means something now. We all are Jekyll and Hydes, you know, and spiritually Jekyll and Hydes. It just totally makes sense. That's a Bob thing. You know, when I started doing my solo records, I'm not trying to do Petra. I'm trying to do me because I can't compete with Bob. I don't want to compete with Bob.
Who does?
My solo records have sort of a different focus, but man, being part of Bob's writing, it was for a singer. It's a dream come true. You few singers get to sing the kind of material that Bob wrote.
Yeah.
But after that record did nothing in the Christian music business. No, the radios were too old. We're not cool now. You know, you're not playing.
Yeah.
They're old. We said, okay, if we can't do it with Jekyll and Hyde, we're done.
Right.
And that's when we retired.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes God has other things for you. I mean, you've put out a total of, what, 6 solo albums, right? That was, and that's incredible.
Thank you.
The last one just came out in, what, 19, I think? Is that right?
It came out in 20.
20,
get this, February 28th. You know what happened at that time?
It's your fault. It's all your fault.
It was my fault. I brought that record and COVID came because of it. So it's in a roundabout way. It's still sitting in the can. I haven't toured it. I haven't done it. I'm really still waiting for us to have courage again, to be our country and to go out and start being people again rather than moles. And I've just, when that happens, then I'm planning on touring that record. It's a ridiculous touring record, along with the Greater Cause, not to mention all the material we're talking about with Petra, sure, including Beyond Belief and Jekyll and Hyde and No Doubt. I mean, my biggest problem is I have too many songs.
Yeah.
I never know what songs to do. And it's not fair for a band that I might have to learn 50 songs to change them. I may try that anyway and just say, okay, give me a list of what you want to hear tonight. And
right.
And in that list, here's the songs we can do. Just, I might try to do that, but it'll be fun.
Now you've teamed up with Bob Hartman again to do some stuff, right? And you did a single with John Lowry. That when you guys got back together to play and sing together, was it just like old times and you guys just fell right into the groove?
Oh, yeah. Listen, John Lowry sings with John Alfonti and myself in the Jay Sekulow Band.
Oh, wow. Okay.
If you haven't heard the Jay Sekulow Band, you need to go to Jay Sekulow Facebook.
Okay.
And check out some of the videos we do. It will freak you out.
Okay. I'll put the links in the show notes for everybody.
Yeah, too, that is fun. I have a lot of fun with the Jay Band. I call it Jay Band. He calls it the JBS Band. I'm going, no, just the J Band. Come on. But it's just a lot of fun. We do copy songs. We do old 70s and 80s copy songs.
Oh, I love it.
And, oh, my gosh, from Boston to Styx to Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young to just a lot of stuff that we in the 70s times, they're just done well. It's just fun.
Yeah. Fun. It sounds like a lot of fun.
John Lowry and I, we do a lot of special stuff like the thing you saw on the internet with doing Beyond Belief with Dan, amazing singer out of Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. He's quite the character, and for us to be able to work with him out of Brazil just really opens up a lot of doors in South and Central America too.
Yeah. So that's incredible. Yeah, John Lowry, you should know that I was coming for his job. Like growing up, I'm a keyboardist and a singer. And so I was sure that God had me on the path that at some point John was going to leave the band and I was just going to step right in. I was going to be there for you guys.
How did we miss that?
I don't know. Oh, man, you really screwed up, John.
Okay, there's a case of not praying enough.
Sometimes I feel like I'm losing control. Your guy ain't going nowhere. Found a better place and I'm already there. Don't you know I found one way? No doubt, no fear. Turns out the sun is shining down on me. All you gotta do when you feel this way is have a little faith. Can you feel it? Feel it. Won't be long till you believe it. Let it take you away to a place that you've never been. Yeah. So believe it, believe it. It's not so hard to see it standing right before you.
No, God had other plans for me, but you guys have done awesome. And just let me ask you real quick, you're obviously, as we talked about at the beginning of the interview, you're not slowing down. So what's coming up for you?
Oh, good question. Well, actually, for the last 2 years, I've been working on a ministry project. I have a ministry. It used to be called John Schlipp Ministries. It's now called Build It Ministries, BLD/it. But the Lord do it. It's not, you know. And it had an original purpose was to go out and do free concerts that you still charge tickets for. And you use that ticket money to do something for a local ministry.
You know? I love it.
From helping helping a church get a new roof to maybe a needy person needing a new bathroom, because I'm a do-it-yourselfer. I really do a lot of construction when I'm not touring. So I started this project. It wasn't going to be a big deal. It turned out to be a 2-year project for this lady who needed to help to get back on her feet. A very productive person, but got sick for over a 2-year period and really fell into disarray. I mean, she was not well. Mm. So after these 2 years, I've watched her get her health back, get her ministry, her job, her business back. And I will be finishing the project at the end of this month.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it has been almost a full-time thing besides my music.
Yeah.
So I'm finishing that. And the reason I mention that is because now I'm going to be able to go back and do smaller projects when I'm not on the road. Again, we've talked about the Go album and the Greater Cause album. I really want to tour that. I'm hoping that, in the middle of the summer, we can start getting serious about that. Petra's actually doing several shows. One in Jordan the city of Petra in Jordan.
Oh, wow.
We're going to be doing a show there for a tour, a Holy Land tour.
Mm.
That's exciting. We're doing a show in Germany. So Petra may be doing a couple of shows this year. The J Band will be recording possibly every month. I've still worked with Billy Smiley with something called the Union of Sinners and Saints. So put that all together, I can stay busy.
I imagine you can. Now, is it true you're working on a seventh solo album? Is that true?
Actually, this year I am not. And I'll tell you why. There's a documentary that's being done with me right now, and it's going to cost a lot of money.
Mm.
And my backer basically said, this is a project, no CD, this is a project. You've got Go that's still in the can. You don't need to do another solo record right at this moment.
Right.
And I'm totally cool with that. Like I said, Go is too good a record not to work on it, and tour it. There's a documentary being done, and it's a pretty major investment. And so there will be no solo record. What I'm hoping as far as the next new CD, it'll either be or both. It'll be another Union of Sinners and Saints LP or CD, or a Jay Sekulow Band original CD. That's
nice.
I'd like to see that. So I will probably be on a new CD one way or the other.
Okay. Well, when the documentary comes out or your next music project, man, we want to have you back on and talk about that. I have
absolutely
thoroughly enjoyed it.
My friend. Absolutely.
John Schlitt, CCM icon and lead singer of Petra. Thank you so much for being on the program today. It has been an absolute honor.
Oh, Jay, it's my pleasure, buddy. I thank you for your interest. Thank you for letting folks know what's going on. I just appreciate that you care, and thank you so much.
I care so deeply, believe me. And tell John Lowry I'm still coming for his job one day.
Oh, why don't you tell him yourself? Get a hold of him and interview him. He's got quite the story, too.
I'm trying. If you could help me, I would appreciate it.
Hey, amen. Listen, we're hard to get a hold of. What can I say?
Yeah, you guys are, believe me. But thank you again for being on the program today. I've taken up enough of your time. John, thank you so much. Just keep doing what you're doing, man. Rock as long as you want to. We will be glad to keep listening.
Thank you, my friend. If you listen, I'm going to sing.
Deal. All right. You take care, John.
You too, buddy.
I'd like to once again thank John Schlitt for being on the program. What a great sport and great interview he is, and I certainly hope to have him on again in the near future. Hey, if you like what you're hearing on this program, please visit patreon.com and contribute. You can contribute for as low as $2 a month and help keep this program going. So check it out at patreon.com/JesusFreaksPodcast. Patreon is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Next week, all you metalheads, Danny Mariano, lead singer of Rage of Angels. This is a group that only put out one album, but they have achieved cult-like status in the CCM world, if you can say cult-like and CCM in the same sentence. But they have, and he is going to be on the program and explain why this incredible group only put out one CD. It is a wild story that you don't want to miss. A few minutes ago, you just heard Feel It, a track off of John Schlitt's latest solo album, Go. And I'm leaving you this week with another track from that same album. This is Fighting the Fight. You have been listening to Jesus Freaks Vinyl to Digital, a presentation of Cabco Media Group and a preferred podcast of Way FM. It is hosted and produced by yours truly, Jason Huddle, with special thanks to research assistant Kevin Jewell. Until next week, God bless.
I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. And I go through hurt and pain along the way. But you give me strength, so I'll be strong, so I can do all things to live this life of love. The vision of your heart is clear. You hold me close to you, and you settle on my fears. Looking never stop, I'll never give in, I keep fighting the fight. Yeah. God.